The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. At this stage of life, you don't get a lot of firsts anymore. Chew, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like firsts. First time, first this, first that, first.
Yeah. Done it all.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. Feel like, I've checked that off the list, checked that off the list, checked that off the list. But yesterday, guys, I had a first. First time ever in my 43 years.
Okay.
I got an allergy test.
Got an allergy test when I was like six.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one when I was young.
I never got one.
Do they still prick the forearm and this and this and what bubbles and...
Yeah, lots of pricks.
Yeah.
Poke, poke, poke. But enough about...
there's such an easy joke there, but we're going to move on. Poke. And I am happy to report this morning that I have one allergy. Just the one. One, the whole arm, left side, right side, full of spots, full of pricks, one allergy. And that sucker blew up. It was like, whoo, allergy, whoo, welt.
What do we got?
You want to guess? And if you guess Dario, you're close. that's not it.
I was allergic to ragweed. I was a bunch of grasses.
Yeah. Oh, tough for you being Mr. Grassman over there.
Yeah. I live with Zyrtec. Have to take it. But that's pretty common.
Yeah, seasonal allergies. Absolutely.
So your allergy, is it related to Dario or are we joking here?
No. But I mean, no, not really.
Okay.
I could make a case. I could certainly
say,
well, if you would just...
How about dairy?
No.
No, I'm not going to say dare. I'm going to...
You see me eat the yogurt. You see me eat the cheese. You see me do all the things.
So it's got
to
be...
Is it related to your throat and how you get verklempt?
So I was about to say, she's been dealing with it.
That's the reason I've been doing all this stuff, because I keep losing my voice.
Okay, so the throat in Dario. Okay. I mean, I'm... Gabe, I'm trying to put this thing together here, all right?
You're doing a good job at the clues, bud.
Is it hot in here again, or is this conversation?
It just got a lot.
Is this conversation making me uncomfortable?
All right, let's guess.
Okay.
Food.
Yeah.
Is it a food?
It's not a food.
No, I think it's got to be something airborne, because remember, she's been talking about every time that her throat and then her voice get a little raspy.
Okay.
It's because of the air conditioning, and she has to sleep in a different room because, like, the air conditioning.
Is it a common allergy?
Probably.
Okay.
All I know is I had this panel on my arm yesterday, right? The panel. You guys have seen the panel.
Yeah.
Josh, I'll send you the panel if you want to post it on the YouTube page. Panel. And the one thing that I had blew up, like, immediately. It went straight from the little prick to a dime size welt.
Dust.
Yeah. Dust.
Dust.
Coming out of the vents.
Yeah.
Dust mites.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am way, way, way allergic to dust mites. So if you want to say maybe my husband could push a vacuum around every now and then, I mean, I could make that case. But it is more of just like in our house, particularly in our bedroom, where we have carpeting, where we have linens, where we have tapestries, right? You have all the things. That is where it acts up the most for me.
Get a HEPA system.
HEPA.
Yep.
HIPAA.
HEPA.
No, want something different.
HEPA.
Get a system where you're not allowed to share your medical
records. I have it.
It's called the safe.
In our houses, filters the outside air from allergies. Yes.
Do you put it downstairs with the furnace and the thing? Cool.
Yep.
That sounds like it'll be inexpensive.
Cheap. I don't think that. Well, yeah, they are. The filters are like $400.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's just take.
I did go to Ace Hardware yesterday after I vacuumed, after I dusted, after I cleaned, got new filters for the air conditioner, got new filters for the furnace. So that will hopefully help. But I do feel good about being one step closer, perhaps, to alleviating some of these symptoms I've been dealing with. You know, getting, again, you can't eliminate dust mites. You can't eliminate dust and you can't eliminate dust mites, but you can minimize it. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be minimizing. I did ask Dario yesterday. I said, any chance we could remove the carpeting in our bedroom? He said, are you insane? He said, that is 4-year-old carpeting. We just moved, you know, we put the carpeting in. It looks great. We get it cleaned every 6 months. He's like, are you insane? So I'm just trying to feel better here. So that felt like an extreme reaction to the dust mites. Joshy, do you have any allergies?
I have a deadly allergy to bee stings.
Ooh.
Ooh. Do you carry a EpiPen?
No.
Benadryl?
No.
What?
I just raw dog it.
So you're Kirk Cousins. If I die, I die.
Yeah. I have been stung since I was young and not had severe reactions. They do say you can outgrow allergies. I'm just kind of hoping that's the case, because the 2 times since I got the allergy, I have not throat swelling nearly died like I did the first time. So I used to go get shots every week for bee venom, where they literally just put bee venom into your arm and in increasing doses to kind of build up your stamina. So I think that did work. I haven't kept up with it, so who knows? And then mold, which is an annoying one, because that one's sort of out of my control other than general cleanliness around the house.
I was about to say, yeah, cleaning so up.
But there's a lot of mold outside.
Are you allergic to penicillin?
Me? No.
Huh. Because that's mold, isn't it?
Adjacent.
Okay. I know. This feels like back in my childhood when my dad would be like, eat the blue cheese.
Yeah.
It's penicillin. And I'd be like, I don't think they're selling penicillin in the dairy aisle, Dad.
Are you like a dog? They're just hiding it in there? Hiding the penicillin inside the blue
cheese? I
will
tell you this, Joshy. One of the things that the lady did offer me as a option was the introducing of the allergy to you. You do have to go into the facility every week to get the introduction. And she said it lasts you. It's not
like
lasts
6 years.
That's exactly 3 to 5 years of every week having larger doses of the allergen introduced to your body to hopefully, you know, like Princess Bride, build up an immunity to Iocane powder.
The problem that stinks is if you miss a week or two, you basically just got to start all over, because they can't introduce higher levels again, because then you would obviously be at risk of. Because you get the shot and then you have to sit around to make sure, you know, there's no adverse reaction. So I think I did it for like 5-6 years because, I mean, life happens. You can't make it every week. Stuff comes up and then you get 1 week behind and then you're going all the way back to the start.
Ooh. There's no way you can do it with your job, Jen. Like, if you're supposed to go in the same day, is it the same day or is it just
same time? They said they try to be pretty consistent with the treatment.
So if you get a random assignment during the college football season and Wednesday's the day that you're going in, but you've got to go out to Spokane, Washington, there's no way you could do
this.
Can
you imagine me calling up my boss and being like, I would love to go do this story for my job, but I got to sit in a room and have dust mites introduced to my system at a pretty consistent basis.
So I just see here your panel that you got. This has advanced a long ways from when I got tested, and they used a scapula to scratch the skin off my back. This is like, you got printed out there. I had like numbers written on marker, and then they literally just peeled the skin away.
Yep.
And that's what it used to be. So maybe I need to go back to this and see.
So I had
a better experience than when you were a kid.
But again, the idea of, I'm 43 years old. This is the first time I've ever done this. And I was thinking yesterday, like, there's not going to be a lot of firsts for me. You know what I mean? Like, you start thinking of milestones and things you can accomplish and things you've done. Maybe it ends up being a bucket list trip thing. Oh, I've never been to Hawaii, so when I go to Hawaii, ooh, first time here, you know? But for the most part, something that you said you got done when you were a little kid, you got done when you were a little kid. He clearly got done when he was a little kid. And here I am over here going, hi, first time, long time listener, first time caller. Anything like that for you guys? Anything like, as you get older, you're like, most people did this a long time ago, and I'm just getting around to it.
No, I mean, the one thing that I want is my first hole-in-one. Don't have one. Weird.
What's with the snicker sticker?
It's just so Gabe. It's also like my first was, I traveled internationally for the first time. I went to Mexico. It took me 35 years to get there. Gabe's, you have to, like, you can't just do a hole in one. You can't just be like, I would like one right now.
It takes I will order one right now.
I would have ordered mine a long time ago if I could have. So that makes it a little different, and that's why it's funny, because it's a game answer.
Maybe the moon. I've been to space.
What do you mean you've been to space?
Yeah.
Well, I was so high up that when you looked up, it was dark. And it wasn't night, it was day. I was at 54,000 feet in a jet.
When did this happen?
I think I was still playing.
Wait, can you take a jet to space, guys?
No.
No, it's space.
You can't.
If you look up and it's dark and it's the middle of the day, you're in space.
Why were you so high?
Well, the gummies.
Because there was no one up there.
It sounds like
we really went fast.
It sounds like you were just kind of in a plane.
I know, but it was dark, so it's...
Did you leave the atmosphere?
I don't think that really matters.
I think it does, actually.
You guys, you can't take a jet to space. Like, that's the bottom line here. Okay? If we're trying to Encyclopedia Brown our way through this case, we could stop right there.
But he doesn't accept that answer, so we're trying to find an answer that he accepts so he can accept himself that he has not been to space.
I've been close.
Why are your biggest lies...
That's not a lie.
...revolved around space? Because you also claim at 6 months old you remember the moon landing.
I cannot wait till we get to the afterlife. And there's going to be a picture or a video of it. And you're going to say, you know what you're going to do? We're going to be in heaven. And Josh is going to have to hit the button. He's going to have to
I'm
hit
not
the
bringing
button.
The button with me. That's staying behind.
Why don't you guys believe that?
That you were in space?
No!
Oh, the moon landing.
At 6 months
old.
6 months old.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to clarify here. I can wait to get to the afterlife, okay, guys? No rush.
First time you die.
You won't be allergic to anything
There's another first to look forward to, Jen. Your first death.
I just want to put that out there into the world that I certainly can wait. If he had to play the Chewie Was Right in heaven, would it sound like Ave Maria?
Yeah.
Would it be more of like...
Gregory. Amen.
We should work up a mock-up of that.
Where's Josh from Heartland?
To say we're gonna need some harmonizing help. Yeah. We tried.
Didn't quite get
Can't
there.
Be any worse than the national anthem.
That's an excellent point. We gotta take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. Jason Wilde coming up next. Lots of stuff to get to with him, including some of the injuries that the Green Bay Packers are dealing with right now. And is Dontavian Wicks about to have a breakout season? One very important person on the Packers thinks he might. We'll talk about that with Jason right after this.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, Bucks Plus Audio Production. Marcus and his son Chris, who is a 1995 UCLA Hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world, and they are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
So much conversation yesterday about Jordan Love and his comments or lack thereof at his youth football camp. And I know Jason Wilde was in the middle of it all day yesterday. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm not going to answer that.
Nope. Jason, how concerned should Packers fans be about these injuries that have popped, putting several of the players on the PUP list to start training camp?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody should be really injured, really concerned about it. I mean, that's a procedural move that obviously they do to have the coverage of. If those issues linger, you don't have to. You can put them right on the PUP list to start the season, right? And so, if you pass a physical and you get hurt during training camp, Chewie knows this. you are no longer eligible for the PUP list. So the bottom line is you show up, you take your physical. If you have something that is lingering, this is where you end up. But it is not like it's more procedural than anything to worry about.
Jason, two-part question here, because you obviously see more than we do. Why do you really like why do you really like Wicks? And who does he remind you of as a player? Someone current or maybe someone that played years ago?
Yeah, so you've probably heard me make the comparison that Romeo Doubs reminds me of James Jones.
Yeah.
And people don't get too up in arms about that, because James Jones was a really nice player, a good player, probably an underrated player. And so it feels like a pretty good comp there. The problem with Wicks is that his comp is one of the best wide receivers in football. And at this point, Dontavian Wicks has caught 39 passes. And 29 of them were in the second half of last season when he kind of came on strong. And I know that he has become kind of the, Tausch likes to use this word, I don't, but it probably fits here, the sexy pick for a lot of people. Greg Cosell really likes him. Mina Kimes really likes him. He's gotten some love lately, if you will, from others than me. But he does, his feet and his ability to get off the line of scrimmage, while not nearly as good as Davante Adams, is Davante Adams-like. And none other than Matt LaFleur made that comparison in a production meeting with Buck and Aikman before Monday Night Football. And if you remember, Buck mentioned it on the broadcast, even though I think LaFleur kind of said, don't say this, but... and so that... When I watch him and when I watch his feet, that's who he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He's built kind of the same. You know, by the time Davante became one of the best wide receivers in football, he was chiseled physically. And when he first got there, you know, he was a little heavier, frankly. And I think Davante would even talk about that. And so he also kind of remade his body. And in the year between him being drafted here, Wicks, I'm talking about now, and seeing him during the offseason program, he has started that process of reshaping his body too and just becoming more sinewy and lithe. And so I don't love making the comp because of the expectations that come with that level of a comparison. You know, the expectations that come with comparing Romeo Doubs to James Jones are not the same as the expectations of comparing someone to Davante Adams. But that is the comp. Whether or not he'll achieve everything that Davante did, obviously he's got a hell of a lot of work to do.
Would Wiry be fair, Jason?
No, I mean, he's thicker than that.
Okay.
Like, when I think of Wiry,
yeah,
I think of Christian Watson, right? I think of MVS.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they're long and but skinny,
yeah,
basically. He's
a little thicker.
I mean, he's put together, but I think the transition would be kind of maybe changing that to a little bit more muscle and being a little more chiseled. And again, you know, having a fat sports writer say, well, he's not really chiseled, is a little bit ironic, but I just think that as he spends more time in an NFL weight room, and you know, one of the things we heard LaFleur talk about a lot last year about all these young guys is, and it's not just Wicks, it's not just any of these guys, it's the idea of becoming more professional. And one of those things, you know, now did the Three Amigos go down to Nicky's and have a few too many soda pops back in the day? Absolutely. I'm not saying you guys weren't professional, but I think we know so much more about, you know, nutrition. And I mean, did you guys even have a nutritionist when you were there?
Supplementation was kind of on your own.
Right.
You know, it was
and
on
so,
your own. Yeah.
So I think the feeling now is, with everything we know about diets and all the different things that they can do, I do think there's an expectation of that, that guys are going to get better about that. I mean, even, you know, I mentioned Christian Watson. Like, Christian Watson going into year three is not nearly as wiry or spindly, as Tosh likes to say, as he was when he got here, right? He spent 2 years, he's had all his injuries, whatever, but he spent 2 years in an NFL weight room, and you're obviously, and he's also grown, right? He's an older player than he was 2 years ago. So I just think that's a natural progression. Some guys come in and they're already all cut up and ripped. Other guys, it takes them a little while.
Jason, yesterday we did a little baby pool, but for Jordan Love's contract. Chewy's staying put. He thinks it's going to be done by the time the shareholder meeting happens on Monday. Jen took August 1st. I said August 30th. Josh said the day before the first game and took September 5th. Which one do you think is going to ultimately be closest?
Yeah, where is my Jordan Love spokesman to say that I'm not answering that for me? Because I don't know. At this point, I honestly don't know. And I never did know, right? Because, you know, it's been interesting. I know Adam Schefter said on your show the other day that he doesn't think it'll be done by the start of camp here on Monday, the first practice. And he's obviously got a lot more contact with Jordan Love's agents than I do. I never felt like this was the slam dunk of getting done in time for the shareholders meeting as maybe some other folks did. And it still could happen. I'm not ruling that out, but you know, and I know I've had this conversation with you guys. Like, I would say things like, you know, about maybe it doesn't get done, and maybe there's a little bit of contentiousness there over what Jordan Love and his guys want versus what the Packers think he's worth. And the Packers could talk about how much they love him, but they also have to protect themselves if, for some reason, he's more Daniel Jones than he is Aaron Rodgers. And I wasn't doing that because I don't believe in Love, or that I'm not, isn't that a Huey Lewis song? Or I don't think he's very good. It's because that's how this whole operation works, right? And so when I look at where they're at now and I look at what happened at this football camp, you know, I don't want to take that and interpret it as, oh, they're not close, and that's why they didn't want to take any questions on it. That could have been just bad PR by the people that were handling the camp and handling Jordan. Like, that wasn't the Packers PR staff that was there, because I can guarantee you they would not have advised them to take the approach that he did. He answered questions about contract talks at his locker during the off-season program. They weren't long answers. They weren't expansive, but I'm still blown away that they thought, and I know that, and I mentioned this before on our show, I understand that there are people who listen to our shows who hate the media. I get it. And think, well, we should just do whatever people say. That's just not how it works. And there are things way more important than Jordan Love's contract, where if reporters don't dig in and find out information, they expose a lot of really crappy things that people do and governments do and all the other stuff. So in this case, it's much less important than that. But this is why you still ask questions. And as I said, you know, to me, the question here now is not when is it going to get done. And this would have been the question that would have made it seem contentious at his camp, is if Stephanie asked that, and then I'm standing there, I wasn't there, I followed up with, if the contract's not done on Monday, are you practicing? That's a yes or no question, but it's the question that I think is on everyone's minds. So, again, I don't know what the date's going to be, because I just don't know how much of a lowball or protect the organization, whatever you want to call it, number the Packers have been at during this process.
Jason, last thing for you before we let you go. What camp competitions should fans be paying most attention to? What camp competitions will you be paying most attention to once these guys get out on the field?
Great question. There's a couple that I think are really interesting. On defense, you know, I think Javon Bullard is going to be the other safety, right? You don't draft a guy in the second round to then have Evan Williams from Oregon, the fourth round pick, win the job. Same goes for linebacker, where Edgerrin Cooper is the second round pick, Tyron Hopper is the third round pick. I mean, I would think that Cooper is the guy who has the advantage coming in, but those are competitions. But the competition on defense that I'm really interested in is Carrington Valentine versus Eric Stokes at corner, because that is a legitimate competition. They love everything about Carrington Valentine. Speaking of wiry and skinny, he was that last year as a rookie. He came back and he looks much more muscled up, and he is not afraid to be physical. So they really like him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens between him and obviously a former first-round pick who's been injured a lot. And then, you know, the other competition that everyone's going to be watching is left tackle, because I think Rashid Walker had a good offseason. I think they have a lot of faith in him. But you don't draft a guy in the first round for him to sit the bench. Now, our friend Brian Bulaga, when he was drafted, you know, until that old broken-down right tackle who was in front of him, I can't remember the guy's name, pretty popular, if I remember, Trasher, Trouser, something like that.
It'll come to you.
He started the season. Yeah, Samsonite. I was way off. So, Tausch started the season, right, in 2010. And if he doesn't get hurt, Brian's probably on the bench even longer. So he's forced into the lineup by the injury to Tausch. But, you know, I think there's a chance that they do the same thing with Jordan Morgan. I think they feel good enough about Rashid Walker that they bring Jordan Morgan along a little slower.
Jason, if Tucker Kraft didn't get hurt, would that have been another big competition?
I think that one's a little more, and I even mentioned to you in one of my stories, I think that's a little more, even though they're not as different as you and Keith Jackson were, I think they're kind of 1A and 1B, mm-hmm. And I think they're going to use them both a lot. Like, look, they love everything about Luke Musgrave, so I think while they are interchangeable and that they like both of them, you know, if I were to predict if both stay healthy all season, who would play more snaps, I think it would be Luke Musgrave.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Good stuff as always. Have a great show. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have.
Eight.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and seven, five, 309.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Any of Jason Wilde's appearance here on the program, you can find it, and we encourage you to do so, on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. So, one of the conversations that we were having with Jason was, what camp competitions are you going to be paying attention to? You know, where two guys are battling it out for a spot on the roster, has all the drama of a Netflix reality show. Also, you should watch Sprint if you haven't yet on Netflix. Very, very good. So, guys, I put the question that I gave to Jason to you as well. Which of these competitions are you most interested in? Which one do you think is going to bring the drama? Which one do you think is going to be down to the wire, each guy performing at a high level and making the decision very difficult for the Green Bay Packers? Gabe, I'll go to you first.
Corner. Second cornerback. I think that one's got the one for the most drama because it involves a seventh-round pick, which Tausch likes to point out. When you're a seventh-round pick, you have to continuously prove you belong. And then another first-round pick, who, conversely, according to Tausch, you have to prove you don't belong. So you've got two guys battling it out for that position to start opposite of Jaire Alexander. And, oh yeah, by the way, you also have Ballantyne over there. There are a number of different corners, and if Stokes doesn't win, do you keep him on the roster? Do you move on from him? But he still might be good, and you can't have enough corners. I think there are a lot of questions there, depending upon the winner of that battle.
Is Nixon definitely the nickel? Because let's just say it's close between Ballantyne and Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
You say Valentine or Ballantyne?
I don't know. Which one is it?
Valentine's kind of the one that's mostly in that with Stokes.
Okay. He needs a nickname. Because to me, they're the same guy. But wouldn't you move the one to nickel if it was close?
But it seems like those guys have better skill set for a boundary corner versus a corner. And Nixon, conversely, you don't really want him on the outside. He seems like he's got the good skill set to fit at the slot position. And again, you did pay the guy.
Does Jair have to stay healthy? Are we kind of getting sick of him missing games too? We're talking about Watson a lot.
Yeah.
And how many games he misses. Jair's not that far behind him.
But Jair was healthy last year.
He just stunk?
He coming off of an injury, didn't play very well.
And then got suspended
for a game.
Okay. And we may get to it as the show rolls on.
Yeah. But
Gabe, you mentioned this morning that those lists continue to populate from ESPN.com, and they did do cornerback, and Jair was, in fact, on the list. Where did he pop in?
Number 7 on the top cornerbacks. He was, to your point, Joey. I got the years confused. He played 16 games in 2022, and he played 7 last year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So another great competition, I think, will be backup running back, because if A.J. Dillon is not the number 2, he's gone. He's gone. Now, do they normally keep 2 and then 1 on the practice squad? And is Emmanuel Wilson still eligible for practice squad?
Everyone's eligible for practice squad.
Okay.
So that's one of the changes that they made, Chu. Technically, you're eligible for the practice squad.
Oh.
So even though you've got 9 years of service, you can put anybody on the practice squad now. There's only so many times you can call them up. If they're looking to steal an extra roster spot, if they want to keep an extra inside linebacker or an extra tight end, wide receiver, whatever, then they might only go to 2. I think most teams will carry 3 on the 53.
It's just me, Chu, or does it feel like Dillon is fighting long odds here?
Well, they're not paying him anything. That's the benefit. He is a veteran. I don't know what value he has to special teams.
Practically none.
But my guess, do you agree with me? If he's not the number 2, then he's probably gone?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I think the receiver.
Receiver's
going to be fascinating, not only from the standpoint on how they number their top 4, but you're going to have pretty decent guys getting cut, depending upon how many tight ends you keep and how many receivers you keep.
I mean, because they're going to keep 6 receivers.
But could they go to 7 and keep 3 tight ends, or could they keep 4 tight ends and go with the 6?
Again, depending upon how running back shakes out, you can always...
Because you
that was remedial math, and it felt to me like we were having way too many people at the skill positions there, Chew.
But all right, you got Watson, Dobbs,
yep.
Reed,
mm-hmm.
Heath,
yep.
Melton, Wicks,
yep.
Torrey, DeBose. That's 8.
Did you notice when Gabe stopped saying yep? That's where he thinks the line of demarcation
is. Torrey and DeBose.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Throw him on the practice squad. Call him up if you have to, if there's injuries. Like, I don't think that Samori Toure is going to be somebody that teams are like, oh man, can't believe the Packers cut him. Let's line up and try to sign this guy. I think that's somebody that you can just throw on the practice squad.
Is there a competition between Ben Sims and Tyler Davis?
Possibly, yeah. If they're only going to keep 3.
If they want to have one, sure.
Yeah.
If they want to have one,
yeah,
what do you
fun.
Mean?
Yeah, who cares?
Just for funsies?
Yeah, I mean, they're just like the same guy. You got 2 guys you invested in. Those are the guys you need to perform. If you get something from the one of those 2, great.
Sweet. They're special teams guys.
Yeah.
At this point. And then maybe, depending upon how long it takes Kraft to come back, you know, there's a possibility both of those guys make the roster if Kraft's not ready to go for opening day.
What about kicker? Is that a competition, or is that just
me? I think that's a competition. I absolutely think that's a competition. And Jason has told us that he has heard that it is an actual competition, not just one in theory. You know, to throw out there and put pressure on Anders Carlson.
Do you believe it?
I do.
Charted at the end of the day, you think it's going to be fair. It's going to be kick for kick.
If it wasn't a true competition, I think they would have just, whenever they released whoever the 3rd kicker was on the roster and then they picked up another one, I'm blanking on the whoever's
James
name.
Turner?
It was the Lions guy.
Yeah. They wouldn't pick up a 3rd one. Like, if they just wanted it to be a for show, they would just have 2 kickers. The fact that there's a 3rd kicker there tells me this isn't for show, and they want as many options as possible.
Yes, you've got Anders Carlson, you've got Greg Joseph, and then you've got James Turner, who they claimed from waivers from Detroit.
You think it's going to be fair across the board?
Greg Joseph's got a great chance to win. Greg Joseph can kick the ball far.
What about James Turner?
Is that because Greg Joseph talks in the third person?
Greg Joseph might make the roster.
Yeah, but now, isn't there more of a benefit to keep the ball in play and bury it in the corner?
Yeah.
Based upon the new kickoff rules.
Correct. You still want somebody with a big leg for field goal attempts.
Sure.
But again, if it's a big leg but not accurate, it doesn't do you any good. But yeah, you want to be more accurate with your kickoffs based on the new kickoff rule.
All right, let me throw another one out there. Is there a competition between Van Ness and Preston Smith?
Kind of.
They want it to go to Van Ness, though. So.
I'm guessing Preston's your starter.
Ah.
And then Van Ness rotates in on passing play of situations.
Let me ask you a question, Chu. Did we ignore another position on the offensive line that is going to be a competition this year in right guard? Hasn't Jordan Morgan, I think he's taken reps at every position during the offseason workouts so far. Is there a chance that he could be over there on the right side? I know that that's probably not ideally where you'd want him to play, but they got to figure out what to do now that John Runyon is gone.
Mm.
It's got to be, but that only becomes a secondary competition, right? Because you want him taking the majority of his snaps at left tackle if that's an actual competition. He can't be splitting. If he's splitting, he's not going to win either spot.
Jordan Morgan scares me. His reviews have not been glowing from what I've seen in the mini camps, and I'm just getting the Sherrod Jeeks.
So, that's, just so you know, that's scathing. Of all the players, of all the past players,
there's only one name you could say that would be more scathing.
Oh, hold on. I can picture him.
John Michaels?
No, that's not who I was going to say. Oh. I was going to say the offensive lineman from all those years ago, injury prone.
Tony Mandridge?
No, from when I covered the team. Oh, gosh.
Jerry Kramer?
You know what? This is when I know.
How old do you think she is?
This is when I know that I'm old.
Jerry
Chronically
Kramer.
Injured. Never high pick, high draft pick, maybe even first round.
Horace Craig.
You know what? No. You know what? We're not going to do. We're not going to play what? This guessing game.
Ken Rutgers.
Because you guys are being mean now. You think I'm a lot older than I actually am. I will think of the name in the break because I'm going to do a little Google. 800-990-3776. We were talking about the competitions that the Packers have in front of them headed into training camp. And, of course, these are depth chart battles. So we're going to put it on the poll. Left tackle. Jason said he thinks the safety thing is pretty well sorted out, that Bullard's going to get that gig. But linebacker, he mentioned Cooper, he mentioned Hopper. And of course, we have talked about the second cornerback as well. You could put kicker on that list as well. What competition, what camp competition are you most looking forward to? Will you be paying the most attention to? 800-990-3776. Jen, Gabe, and Chua rolls on right after this.
Palermo's is great when it comes to frozen pizza. They've been doing this for over 60 years, so of course they know what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. And with the weekend fast approaching, you know you're going to be taking the family out. You're going to be going places, doing things. You're going to get home. You're not going to want to make dinner, but you still want something that's great, tastes good. That's where Palermo's comes in. Make sure you're always stocked up with Palermo's. And even if you've got different tastes in your family, they've got plenty underneath their umbrella with their family of brands, including Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, that is going to satisfy the appetite of everyone in your family. So keep an eye out in the grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
that a boy.
Works.
That a boy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Lots of folks offering their suggestions as to which player I was referring to. So in my mind, there is only one insult greater than calling someone Derek Sherrod. And it is, well, it was guessed by some people. David saying Jen is thinking of Derek Sherrod. I wasn't. I can understand how you might think that, though, because I did say offensive lineman, first round draft pick, chronically injured. And Chef Ed said, Justin Harrell, ? I said, yes, it's Justin Harrell. To which Gabe responded,
It's a defensive lineman.
He's a defensive lineman, Jen. So that's how
Tennessee?
That's how impactful yeah. Justin Harrell was. I just remember there being all this hype surrounding him because he was their first round pick back in the day. What year would that have been? I pulled up the old
2006 or seven.
2007. Yes. 16th overall. And he was chronically injured in college, but they took a flyer on him with the first pick. And then he was chronically injured in the pros. And so to me, he's always kind of been the bust equivalent that I'm familiar with. I know you guys have other busts from back in the day, Chris Berman.
Yeah, it's one of those. That was one of those draft picks that, you know, you think you're smarter than everyone. Oh, watch this. And yeah, Ted, he was injured there.
Ted got booed.
Oh, yeah.
When he popped his head out of
yeah, I mean,
the
because
war room and they booed him.
Nobody had this guy on there because of the injuries. Like, nobody had him on the radar as a first round pick.
Well, the injury, and I remember talking about this after they drafted him. I'm like, 22-year-old defensive lineman, don't tear your bicep.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an Achilles injury. That happens later in your career. So that was a huge red flag. Yeah, that was. That was a swing and a miss.
Any chance you guys think you can rattle off the other draft picks from the 2007 draft? If Justin Harrell was the first pick, any chance you can get the second round pick? There were 2 third-round picks, 1 fourth-round pick, 5th-round pick, 6th.
From 2007?
2007. Was that the Nick Collins draft class?
It was not Nick Collins. I want to give you some clues. One of them went on to play for a very, 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 very long time.
So in 2007, that would have been the Greg Jennings draft class?
Mm-hmm.
No, he was 2006.
No. Yeah.
The very, very long
Collins
time.
Collins was 2005.
Very, very, very long time. Joshy would not put him on a poll, if that helps.
Oh. No. He hates kickers, but that...
Follow the bouncy ball. Yeah. Follow the bouncy ball.
Yeah, Crosby. Yeah.
Mason Crosby was
a
07?
Sixth round pick in 2007.
Darren College?
No. Darren College was the previous draft, 2006.
One of my all-time favorite linebackers for the Packers, who was a blip in the radar, but had one of the most important tackles in Packers history.
Desmond Bishop?
Correct.
Yes, it's Desmond Bishop, sixth round pick in 2007. Brandon Jackson was the second round pick in 2007.
Is that
James
Iowa?
Jones?
No, he was Nebraska.
Yeah. Okay.
James Jones was the third round pick in 2007. Alan Barber was the fourth round pick in 2007. You mentioned Desmond Bishop. David Clowney on that list. Corey Hall also on that
list.
That was
a bad draft. Huh? Who was the number two?
Jackson.
Oh, was that a bad draft?
Yeah. Well, but, bad draft. But you got good guys in the back part. You got Bishop, who started for you for a Super Bowl, the all-time leading scorer in franchise history on that roster, or out of that draft. I mean, the early stuff was bad. James Jones was good. You draft someone in the third round, they play in nearly a decade. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, but you miss on 1 and 2. That's
bad. But you made up for it on the back end.
Okay.
Because you're going to miss 1 and 2 from occasion. For example, I can think of a 1992 draft class where, you know, maybe they made up for missing on the first round pick by getting a 3-time Pro Bowler in the 6th round.
Okay. Now I'll agree.
Yeah. Just so you know, that's the secret sauce.
Yes.
If I ever wanted to win an argument with you.
He's got to butter him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Roll you into the equation somehow. All right, lots of stuff to get to in the second hour of the program. We still want to get to Dontayvion Wicks, the compliments that Jordan Love is passing on to his guy. And then there was a list that went out of Super Bowl contenders, sexy Super Bowl picks for this season. And guess who's on the list? Your Green Bay Packers. We will talk about that as the show rolls on right after this.